Welcome back to another episode of Candid, where we have real talks with real people. I'm your host, Shanae, and I'm here with Denise, Bethany, and Dudley. So today we're continuing our Orange Economy series, and we're sharing the stories of Bahamian creators. And I have actually been following our guest on TikTok for a while. Personally, I enjoy doing makeup, and I enjoy her videos and like watching reviews and stuff. So when I saw Dari Skin pop up on my For You page, and I watched and I saw someone that looked and sounded like me, I was ecstatic. Can you introduce yourself, please?
Hi, everyone. My name is Dari Arul, aka Dari Skin. Excited to be here. Excited to talk to you guys.
Okay, so how did you get into makeup?
Well, it started a while back, I would say. I was really, really into art. Very, very much into art. I love to draw. I love to paint. And I really look at the faces like a canvas. So it was very easy for me to transition into that more so professional arena of art when you look at makeup. So it really started or stemmed from my love for art. I would say that's how I got into it.
Okay, so when did you start like playing with makeup, I would say?
I started like grade 11, I would say, you know, on my way out of school when I know I would have to, I'll be entering the work world. So I would have to learn how to apply my own makeup. And like I said, because I love art, it kind of was easy for me. I noticed that I had a knack for it. And the rest is history, just began from there.
Okay. So what inspired you to start your TikTok?
TikTok, I would say, okay, so everyone knows when TikTok became a trend. And I would watch the makeup artists and all of the creative people on the app. And I would just be like, you know, I really want to get into it because I enjoy makeup. I enjoy interacting with people and I enjoy everything beauty. And I just saw it as a good space to get into where I can use everything that I love collectively and connect with people. So I saw it as an opportunity to grow and to perfect my craft and to connect with a community that I could call my own.
Okay, so I want to backtrack a little bit. You said that you liked art and painting and stuff like that. So like, did you take art in school? Like, how did you discover your love for like being creative, I guess?
Okay, so I would say, but that started from early on, from from in grade 3-4, I would always stay inside. I would be doodling, I would be drawing, I would be painting. That was just my thing. And I was in art in basically every school that I went into. I would make sure that I would get in the art program because I saw it as a way to escape. And I, growing up, wasn't as sociable as I am now. So when I pick up a pen or a brush or a pencil or whatever, it would just be a form of expression for me. So I would say my love for art was something that I grew up with. I developed and developed until it turned into my art form of makeup.
Was your family like, did they embrace that or did they nurture your art? And is makeup your only outlet or do you plan to try other avenues as well?
Well, my family, they are my support system. Anything that I do, anything that I enjoy doing, my family would nurture it. They would help me. They would invest in it in any way possible. And I appreciate them so much for it. And as far as an outlet, no, makeup isn't my only outlet. It's one of my favorite ones, but I also do enjoy reading. I go to church. That's also a form of outlet. I mean, of like expression and escape for me. And I enjoy listening to music. So like simple things. I'm not a very, you know, out there person, more of a homebody. So it's just simple things and doing it, you know, on my time that I enjoy, and makeup is one of them.
Talking about going to church, I saw that you posted a TikTok about Adventism, your religion, right?
Yes.
So have you had any issues with like those two clashing? Because I know that Adventists are a lot more conservative.
Was it strict or
strict and conservative. Yeah. Because I grew up in Advent. Yeah, I grew up in Adventism. So like I know it's a little bit more strict and conservative. So do you have any issues with that?
Okay, so the church, I don't attend church at the moment, but the church that I did attend, we never really considered ourselves Adventists per se. We just were Sabbath keepers. We observed the Sabbath. And it wasn't ever really an issue because I don't want to sound like, you know, new age or, you know, hitting any traditions or anything. But in our assembly where I attended, it was more so focusing, everything was done in moderation. So, you know, most Adventists don't wear makeup and stuff like that. We wore makeup, we wore jewelry. And I would say that's something I love, because we were more focused on the inner man of a person, of course, upholding standards and moderation and elegance, as you should as a believer, but we were more focused on the inner part of someone and ensuring that they are a good representation of what they believe, opposed to if I wear a red lipstick or, you know, something like that. So we never considered ourselves Seventh Day or Adventist per se, but we were Sabbath keepers. It never was really a clash for me in that sector.
So when it comes to keeping the Sabbath, do you, you said that doing makeup is like an outlet for you, it's like a hobby. So do you consider it keeping the Sabbath if you were to like do makeup on Saturday or Friday night?
Well, no, I kind of keep my Sabbath very, that's kind of off limits for the hustle and the bustle of the work week. And I keep that very, very, that's a very sacred time for me. So on Friday evenings, even into Saturdays, most times I don't work per se. I don't do TikToks and stuff like that. I would save it more for the evening because I do work full time, and my weekends and my Sabbath is my only time that I'm really, really able to have fully alone time with my Heavenly Father. And that's something I do enjoy. So that is something that I hold in there and there. And I try not to, with all in me, to do any form of really work or anything. I try to rest and connect like I should.
Speaking about like you working, do you have a chance to wear your makeup at work? Do you do anything interpretive, like very creative types of makeup at work?
No, ma'am, I don't wear makeup to work, especially in the department that I'm in. There is a lot of walking, there is a lot of sun, there is a lot of exposure to elements, and that, especially wearing masks now, wearing masks and makeup is not fun. Like most people to work know I do makeup and I'm very active on TikTok, so they expect it, but it's not something that I give at work. To be honest, I rarely wear makeup outside of doing TikToks and promotions and stuff like that. You rarely catch me in makeup.
Okay, so I know for me, I have tried the makeup thing. It has not panned out as well as I thought it would. But how long does it normally take you to do your makeup compared to, you know, the couple seconds you post on TikTok?
Well, it's really depending on the look that I do. Most times I do natural makeup on TikTok. That takes me about 25 to 30 minutes, because I would say I have already mastered my face. So I know what to do, how to apply, when to apply. And so, like I said, I've already mastered, so it doesn't really take me long. Now, if I do a creative look, like she asked me about, that would take me anywhere between 30, like 45 minutes to an hour, especially if I'm speaking or teaching something. I would want to be as thorough as possible. So you guys see 30 seconds to 60 seconds, but in reality, that one video probably took me an hour, to an hour and a half at most.
Okay, so just a little, I don't know if you would be inclined to give our audience just a few tips, especially with wearing the mask now. I know a lot of girls still love to doll up, regardless of the mask or not. Do you have any like tips they could use to keep their makeup fresh and not all smudgy? And I don't know no terms for makeup. Like I told you, I tried. I get it. Spent some money and it still didn't work out. And I have like $100 worth of makeup in my drawer.
Wow. Sitting. You gotta make it work. You gotta practice on it. You can't let that go to waste. That's an investment.
Let me tell you something. I wake up in the morning, I try. I can't even get mascara on my eyes sometimes.
Oh Lord. It's just, oh Lord.
I don't know how women do it. Honestly, I have to give credit to women who actually wake up in the morning and do that.
I do too.
Trying. Like you have to keep trying. You have to put it on, you have to wipe it off, then you have to keep it again, wipe it off. No, like, over quarantine, that's all I did. I just played with makeup every day, and I got like a base routine put together. You have to try different products, and you can't just buy something because it's cheap. You got to buy it because it has good reviews. You have to watch a bunch of YouTube videos. Listen, my secret key is putting black girl behind everything I look up.
Yes, I agree.
Daria gonna cause me have to make a TikTok account to actually watch, because I don't have a TikTok. I don't watch TikToks because those things can be very addicting. However, you said that you do natural makeup, and I'm the type of person, I like natural looks. I don't really like the colorful eyes and stuff like that. That ain't me. But I could gel with the naturals.
I got you. Oh, okay. So as far as wearing makeup with a mask, I honestly don't really subscribe to it, but there are some ways to prolong your makeup. For one, I believe in primer, especially with this mask and COVID situation going on. Wearing a primer is so good, especially a gripping primer. I've spoken about a few on my TikTok, like the Milk Hydro Grip, an even more affordable one, the e.l.f. Power Grip. These things help to prolong the wear of your makeup. They help to grip your foundation onto your face. They prevent clinging and dry patches and stuff like that, that your makeup tends to wipe off first. So those are usually the first patches of makeup that you see kind of disappear on your face. Another thing I can say is use less product. The more product you have on, the more product is going to get wiped off on that mask. So like she said, she prefers natural makeup. Under these masks, I do not suggest a full beat. I do not, because if a piece of that wipes off and your real skin or your real color, the true tone is revealed, that is going to be a very, very obvious comparison. And lastly, setting sprays are going to be your best friend through this entire pandemic. I love setting sprays, whether you wear natural makeup, whether you wear full beat, dewy, matte, whatever, use a setting spray. And one of my favorites now that I just reviewed on my TikTok is the One Size Beauty Until Dawn. Do you have that name? Until Dawn setting spray. It's a waterproof setting spray, and that's really good because it prevents like sweat and oil from penetrating your makeup, which can cause it to break down and pale and stuff like that. So those three things really can help change your makeup and help to prolong the wear of your makeup. If you're a lady that still loves sweet, you know, glams during this time, try those tips, and I'm positive they will change your life.
Yeah, and based on what Denise was saying with practice, you just have to keep practicing, honestly, because I started playing with makeup at 14, 15, and obviously I was a kid, so I only had like a few dollars to spare, and I started with like stuff at the dollar store, like when I would go away. But you just have to keep practicing and practicing, and I promise, like, you would get better at it, and you would understand like what works for you, and you just have to try different stuff. So Bethany, like, if you honestly, you need to use that $100 worth of stuff, because I can't believe that
makeup is good. To be honest, like, sometimes drugstore, like how you said you bought products that you could afford, sometimes drugstore products just be slapping. They be doing the do. They really be, you know, effective. Like, you have drugstore brands like NYX and e.l.f. and like LA Girl. These things are, you know, seen as, oh, the cheaper end or the more affordable, let's use that word, end of makeup, but these things perform like high end. Sometimes it's not the product that you use, it's your technique. You know, the girls like, get it. I still use LA Girl, despite me having Too Faced and Juvia's Place and all of these great and more expensive brands, but some things just don't change. And LA Girl is a product that I will use if I'm a millionaire. Like, if a product works, I don't care where it comes from, it works. So don't ever think like you need to break the bank to find effective products, because some of them be sitting right on the shelf in a local store that really can elevate your makeup and make you feel like a pro.
Yeah, I definitely agree. So how do you make money from your TikTok?
Okay, so monetization of my TikTok did not come really until the ending of last year, I would say. And the way I make money is through brand deals, promotions, advertising, products. And so this is really the process of it. If anyone wants to get into like social media influencing and content creation, what I would do is I would basically write down a list of people that or brands that I would want to work with. And I would, especially knowing that I have tried these products, I love these products. And I would pitch myself to these brands. And, you know, a lot of creators don't subscribe to pitching yourself, but I do. I believe that, you know, these people are already known. These people are big. Sometimes they just don't know you exist. So after I pitch myself to them, most times they would go through your content and then they would say, hey, you know, we do love your content. We would like to do a collaboration with you. Now, these brand deals that you get, you would have to negotiate what is your rate, what is your terms, what are your deliverables that you're willing to accommodate on this collaboration. So that is really how I make money. I would choose brands that I know are tried and true and that I love, because I would never want to promote something that I don't like for money. You know, that's, I feel as though that's kind of shady. You don't want to lead your community wrong. So when I promote these brands and talk about them, you basically get paid to do it, because social media right now is the future. And a lot of people are interested in user generated content, and you having influence on your community, and they trust you, they're going to purchase. And that in the end results in the brand being, you know, more, getting more profits and stuff. And that is then shared with you. So it's really just pitching yourself, being accepted, yes or no. And then you collaborate or negotiate from then. What are your terms?
So you've worked with international brands?
Yes. Yes, I have. I've worked with some brands like Osea, Caudalie, most recently landed a collab with NYX Cosmetics, and I am so happy for that.
Girl,
that was one of the first brands I've ever tried as a young makeup artist. Their little butter glosses. So I am really, really proud of securing that collaboration. The Good Molecule, some skincare brands. So yeah, I've worked with a lot of international brands, but I'm also starting to collab with a lot of local brands, you know, here in the Bahamas.
Yeah, I've seen that you've been working with Build-A-Beat Bahamas. So how is that going?
It is going amazing. Shout out to Build-A-Beat, Miss Tramisha, the CEO of Build-A-Beat. It is a great business venture that she's doing, because she is basically bringing an international beauty standard or beauty climate to the Bahamas. You know, the Bahamas, you know, we're limited in our beauty products and stuff. And she has broken that limitation. And she brings in some of the latest and the greatest of products. She brings like Morphe, Milk. She brings in Fenty Beauty. These things that are really hard to find on the island. She makes it accessible. And I really, really appreciate her for that. Because she feels like the Bahamian Ulta or the Bahamian Sephora to me. If I need something, I go to her. And I was so happy to collaborate with her to, you know, bring a discount to my followers, but to also help uplift her brand, because it is really worth it. She has websites. She's really so set up and structured. She is honestly one of the best beauty brands over here.
I was asking, what are some of your favorite brands that you've collaborated with?
Okay, so my favorite brands thus far has been Caudalie. That is a brand based in Paris. Another would be Osea Malibu. That is a skincare. Like, most people don't know, but I really, really love skincare, even in a way, a little more than makeup. So these are some of my favorite collaborations yet. There is another one called Basma Beauty. That is a makeup line. And I think Good Molecules, because I love their skincare products and they are great partners. Collaboration with them has been good. So those are probably my top four. And five would be NYX Cosmetics, because I just love them in general.
So did you feel that you were accepted by the Bahamian community? And how long did it really take you to get a good amount of audience?
In the beginning, I wouldn't say that I felt very supported by my fellow Bahamians. Wow, I sound like my fellow Bahamians. I don't feel like I was very supported.
I come to you all today.
Exactly. Why did I say that? I didn't feel like I had the support of my Bahamian society, because in the beginning it was really hard as far as like getting views. Even though I really pushed myself to create the content, really push myself to post and be consistent. You know, over here everyone says everyone already know you when you get, you know, they start supporting you and they start dropping 242 when you start going viral or you become popular. And that is true. And now I don't hold it personal to the Bahamas or anything, but in the beginning it was really hard gaining momentum as far as followers and engagement and stuff. But I feel as though consistency brings support regardless of what or who it's from. Now, as far as gaining my audience, I would say in summer of last year, I really said, hey, I'm going to take this very seriously. And I started posting consistently. I started, you know, being more of myself, opposed to what an influencer standard is. Really allow my personality to come forth in my videos and stuff. And I realized like engagement skyrocketed. Everything about my platform just started to grow. So I would say from there was my, it was very pivotal at that point to make a move. And I did, and I'm happy that I did. And now I'm just, you know, it's just, everything is just falling into place. I'm really grateful for that.
You know what? You said a word just now that I was really happy to hear you say, because I don't know if you've been on Twitter in the past couple of days. Yeah, there was this great big argument over being an influencer and being a content creator. So do you consider yourself to be an influencer, or are you more of a content creator? And why would you say that?
To be honest, I kind of use those interchangeably, because this is how I see it. If you are an influencer, you are creating content. So therefore you are a content creator. I would say let me change that. I would say that I am a, yeah, I don't even want to say it. I don't like that word, but I would say I'm more of an influencer, because I do influence and I do promote brands and stuff like that. And that's the typical vibe of an influencer. I usually say content creator when I'm speaking to people, because I feel as though influencer has a negative connotation attached to it. So I don't typically use that. I say influencing, but I don't say influencer. I think content creator is a bit more professional. I think that's why that word has come now into mainstream, opposed to the word influencer. But in a sense, I would say influencer, because I do a lot of product promotions and stuff like that. So yeah, unfortunately an influencer.
Oh Lord. But no, so, and you really been doing well on TikTok. If you aren't on any other social media platforms, do you see yourself expanding to other social media platforms?
I have decided to start posting a bit more on Instagram. Facebook is like one of my favorite apps. I don't really post content over there, because that is my app that is separate from everything. That is where everything about me comes out on that side. So I try to keep that just to myself, opposed to adding like work and monetization and advertising and stuff. I am not on Twitter because I don't know how to use it. But I do plan to take Instagram a lot more seriously this year, because I feel as though it could help with building my personal brand. I know a lot of things happen on Instagram.
So do you think that you would have gone for this lifestyle even without TikTok? Do you think like at some point this was gonna be like, you know, you have inside yourself like, you know what, at some point this is me. This is gonna be me no matter what.
Yes, I would say I always wanted to do it. I just felt like TikTok became my opportunity to do it during the pandemic. Even before TikTok really came on the mainstream, I was looking at a few, you know, Facebook reminds you of memories, embarrassing memories of yourself. And I saw a video of me. It was probably from like 2014 of me talking about makeup and saw on my Facebook stories at 2014, 2015. And I was like, wow, this was before TikTok. This was before I wasn't even on Musical.ly, but anything related to social media. I just was talking about like some eyeshadow look I was doing. I was like, wow, it was in me from then, but I was a very introverted person. I didn't like the forefront. And that was one of the biggest reasons. It took me a while to get onto TikTok because I was afraid, but I think I always knew I wanted to be on social media and interacting with a digital community, but I just didn't know when. So when the pandemic happened, I got laid off and I had so much time, and then TikTok was like, boom. And I was like, okay, you know what, Daria, everything is telling you to do this. So it's time to listen.
Okay, Daria, so you speak a lot about the positive aspects of TikTok and promotions and all of that good jazzy stuff. But is there any negative components that, you know, parents, audience, other influencers need to know or should know?
Yes, there definitely is. When it comes to, well, when you put yourself out there, you are susceptible or liable to anything happening, whether that's positive or negative. And that's something that I learned to brace myself for, you know, that time. So negative comments, when you get on social media, you can have the best of anything. If you're interested, if anyone listening is interested, listen up for real. This is real talk. You can have the best of anything. You can be the best. You can do it well, but not everyone is going to be for you. And that's just something you're going to have to accept. You're going to get negative comments. You're going to get people laughing at you, because that was something I was afraid of in the beginning. You know, my startup, it wasn't good. bad camera, bad background. I was like, you know, people are going to laugh at me, but that's going to happen regardless if you make it or not. So you just got to choose to make it and have them laugh. You're going to have people who probably don't support you or don't really believe in you. And I've had that even with people close to me until they see that, hey, I really start to take off. And that ties back to what I said about the whole Bahamian, their mindset, you know, no one really supports you until other people do. So I would say the negative is sometimes you're going to be alone because you have that vision and that vision was placed in your head. And it's sad that you have to see it on your own, but you got to see it through, my boy. That's your vision. That's not theirs. So it's just a matter of bracing yourself because social media can be cruel. People can be cruel. You're going to get discouraged. There are many times that I had creative blocks for days and I would, you know, I would be in my room just being like, Daria, you know, you could do better, beat myself up. And then when you get really serious about it, sometimes your life gets thrown off balance. Because for me right now, I don't feel like I'm very balanced because I do have a full-time job and doing the social media thing. It can be very hard. And you'd feel like if you're not pushing yourself hard enough, you're going to fall behind. And that's something I also had to break myself out of, that sometimes you have to hit pause, collect yourself, and then come back. Because like you said, TikTok can be addictive. Any social media platform can be addictive. And if you feel like you're not keeping that momentum going, you're going to feel like you're falling behind. And that can play with your mental, trust me, a lot. So I would say you have to brace yourself for all aspects of social media, not just the positive, but the negative side can be just as heavy if you don't prepare yourself mentally, spiritually, even physically, because it can be a lot.
My question is, as a fellow introvert, and I understand you kind of explained it just now, but like, how did you really like come out of your shell, like dealing with the anxiety of other people talking negatively about you and dealing with like wanting to do something, but being so, so cripplingly afraid of doing it?
I think it comes down to how bad you want it and what you're willing to sacrifice. I sacrificed my fear of thinking, you know, that I wasn't going to make it. That was one, because like I said before, I don't consider myself an introvert anymore. I'm very outgoing, very sociable, as you can tell on TikTok. But in my head, I had to say, you know, Daria, like you said, people are going to talk, people are going to laugh regardless of what you do. Are you going to let them hold you back? And these are people that really don't do nothing for you. That's the thing. I think that is a thing, that is something we all need to put in perspective in our minds. The things and the people that we fear and the comments, it's usually coming from people that are so far from us, so distant from us, they really can't even help us. So you're either going to sit there, and this is how I prepped myself. You're either going to sit here, know you can do something and know you can do it well, and, you know, let people hold you down and weigh you down and chain you down, or you can do it, you know, and prove them wrong. So that's something that I kind of ingrained or drilled in my head to say, you're going to do it and you're doing it for you. And when you start doing it, like I said, support will come with consistency, because once you're consistent with doing something, people are going to start watching you. And even if they don't comment, even if they don't like, even if they don't share, they're going to watch you, you know? So it's just a matter of, you know, how bad you want it. That's how I see it. If you want it really bad enough, you're going to let go of the worries and the fear of what people are going to say, because those people aren't doing anything for you. You got to do this for yourself.
And then another question I had was, how do you, like, do you stick to trends? Like, how do you make your content? Do you write things ahead of time? Do you just, like, see what's trending that day and make a relevant post to that? What is your, like, system?
Okay, that's a good question. So I started off hopping on a lot of trends. I don't know if you've been watching me or anyone has been watching me long enough. You know, I started off doing, like, all the crazy makeup hacks and trends and challenges that makeup artists and people do. And then I realized I was just doing it because, you know, I wanted to blend in and be able to say that I'm doing it because everyone else is doing it. But now my strategy really is to pull away from trends and stuff like that, because you can get sucked into that hole and stay there. And that is all you will be known for. And it's really hard to climb out of that into an actual, like, a serious and professional level of content creation, because people only associate you with that. So as far as right now, I try to make my content as authentic and original as possible. If you follow me, then you know I do a lot of talking videos. I think those perform the best for me because I'm able to connect and show my personality. And that has been really my driving force so far, is talking and connecting with people and engaging with people on a personal level. My intent is to make people feel like you can approach me in real life. And literally that's how it is. People will come to me, hey girl, like we've been friends for years. And that's just because how I portray myself on TikTok. So believe it or not, I don't follow as much makeup and skincare gurus, because subconsciously we take things from videos we see and stuff and think it can be our own. And I don't want to kind of dilute the originality of my content because I was watching a bunch of videos and I decided to hop on this trend or that trend. So for the most part, I don't spend as much time on TikTok as I usually do unless I'm making a video, because I want my content to be as authentic and as real for me as possible. And I don't want my opinions and my thoughts and my perspective to be changed or swayed by what I watch from others.
Like, speaking of you saying that, like, people see you and they're like, hey, like, does that feel weird? Like, do you get recognized a lot?
Oh, girl. Yes, I do, especially having a job now. You know, a lot of people, I don't know why, didn't think I live in Nassau or the Bahamas in general. And I think I speak really behaving on my TikTok and stuff. But yes, everywhere I go, basically everywhere I go, I'm not trying to brag or anything, you know. But everywhere
girl,
I go,
bribe with yourself, okay?
Everywhere I go, I'm always noticed. And being someone who, let's just say a year ago, was a nobody in the Bahamas, you know, no one knew me. I gotta go someplace and blend right in. Now it's like every room I step into, every place that I go, I'm going to be approached. I'm going to be, you know, stared at. And like, oh, that's the girl from TikTok. Like, I was at work the other day and I heard the girl, I was walking past and the girl was like, oh, that's the girl from TikTok. And I just walked back and I was like, you know, it's more weird you talking for me to hear and not inviting me. Cheap as you just invite me in. Because like I said, I wanted that feel on my TikTok where you can approach me in real life and realize like, that's not just an internet personality. That's what you get in real life. I'm very friendly in real life and, you know, perky and stuff. I don't think I'm as energized, but I am an open book and I love interacting with people. So it is weird sometimes because sometimes people come up a little too familiar and I be thinking like, where do I know you from? But for the most part, I've gotten used to it. I really have adapted and adjusted to hearing that and people randomly walking up to me.
Yeah. And then speaking on like the introverted thing, I used to be so introverted, but I feel like you just have to keep pretending that you like, you know how to talk to people, keep pretending that like you enjoy talking to people. Like, even like when I don't feel like talking to people, but I could feel like the atmosphere is a bit odd and awkward, I push myself to ask questions. People are like, oh, you're so outspoken now. Listen, on the inside, I'm dying, but I'm trying, you know? Do you ever feel like that?
Oh, God. I could definitely relate to that. I feel like when I was like, yeah, before all of this, I felt like it was exhausting having to socialize. I felt like, oh, my social battery is gone. Like, yes. It was exhausting. But then I've learned recently to, I don't feel as though if you consider yourself an introvert, be an introvert. I prefer you to be your introverted, you know, shell like self and come out when needed than to always have to pretend in order to be accepted. I really, really believe in authenticity and originality. And if that's who you are, I want to love you and be your friend for who you are, even if you're introverted, you know? So yes, you have to speak in certain social situations, but for the most part, I don't feel as though anyone should ever have to change who they are to be accepted or anything. Don't pretend, don't exhaust yourself for people.
So with that being said, since I am a very major introvert, the next time Lil Spice on this call sends me a text message and I feel a little exhausted, I'm gonna be there like, hey,
Dudley, don't play me.
And you know, I just say I pretend
Dudley, don't play at me.
Yeah, sometimes you gotta put it on, but when I'm not in a place to speak.
No, but now see, I thought you gave me a pretty cool outlet.
No, we're not introverted.
And she's like, who Dudley said that I'm not? Anyway,
Dudley, so you talked to more people than me. You're in a frat. You are not introverted.
You in a frat. You can ask them. You can ask them. It's just that how's Dudley when he's around you guys?
Nobody.
Not gonna lie, he's pretty quiet. Pretty weird. It's pretty weird he joined the fraternity and decided to be quiet as hell around all of us.
So another thing, like, not to backtrack, but you were talking about like the atmosphere of dealing with Bahamians when you first started to like get into TikTok. And I realized like there's a trend where it's really people who already know people and then they garner a followership of people they already know. Like, y'all have never seen that where it's like a lot of people aren't.
Yes.
Yeah, you saw that, right? It's people who already have a bunch of friends and then instead of like people realizing your talent and then going based off your talent, not because they know you. Have you ever like come across that?
Yeah, that is a very, very popular, I wouldn't say a problem. It is very popular over here though, because if you're popular, I can't take that away from you or anything. I don't feel as though popularity trumps performance. I don't believe in that. If someone can do something well, then they can do it well. But if you're popular, I feel as though it's like, in a way, a crutch, in a way, a silver spoon. So let's imagine someone who they're already popular. Let's just add on to it. They got some pretty privilege that, you know, they got stuff like that. Everything under their belt right now. Most people in the Bahamian, I don't want to carry it to international. Most people in the Bahamas would flock towards that person in anything they do. That doesn't mean that they necessarily will engage or support. That's why I say it's iffy. It's a problem and it's not. That doesn't mean people would really support that person or engage with that person. They would just be there or be present to whatever it is, because like I said, that person is popular. Popularity brings you a community, whether you like it or not. That doesn't mean that community is loyal to you. And that's why I feel like since I've garnered a community, I haven't just garnered a community because I'm pretty or I could do makeup, but because I connect with people. And that's why it's so important not to just do things like because you're popular and people tell you, oh, you should do it. You should just do it. Because it's still a level of hard work that you have to put in. I feel like popularity kind of diminishes the need and make people feel like their popularity or being known is enough for them to get by, and they forget to put in work. And I know a lot of Bahamians are really, they'd be like, oh, she's just popular, you know, it doesn't make any sense. She doesn't do this good, or she doesn't do that as good as this person. And sometimes it's really true. It's really, really true. But like I said, it's how you see it. I see popularity in a sense as a silver spoon, especially when people are doing ventures where a lot of people are doing it and doing it like right and with hard work and blood, sweat, and tears. But it's really how you see it.
Okay, so you talk about popularity trait that kind of is like a cultural thing in the Bahamas, obviously. But we do know that you worked for your fame. In the future, do you see yourself taking your art off of internet and actually putting it to use, being a makeup artist, doing baby showers and weddings? Like, do you see yourself branching out in that way? Because you said, I think you said right now it's just a hobby and something you do on TikTok. So well, do you see yourself branching out?
I actually am a professional makeup artist. I'm just not operational right now because I have a lot. Yeah, no, tell me shame. No, that's why I said it's more of a hobby now, because I don't do it for money anymore. I should have said that. I don't really do it for money anymore. And two, because the makeup that I truly want to do, because like tying back to what I said, I love art and I love like abstract and stuff. The makeup that I enjoy doing, I don't think we have the beauty climate over here. I'm really into editorial and beauty and like abstract type makeup. And I want to splash paint on someone's face and say, work it. Make it look good. Like, that's what I enjoy. And like, I could do a beat. I could do birthday beat, all the glitters and stuff. But what I truly want to do, I don't think I will get back into that right now. I think that's something that's going to have to grow and come with time. And, you know, as I go on to more endeavors, possibly even out of the country, that I would really start to nurture and garner that.
But could so you imagine the audacity you'd have to look at him with some paint and then just splash it on him and be there like, hey, go work it, girl. You got this.
And make it look good. Yes.
Yeah. They can look at you like, mom, hi, miss, hi, hello. They can start clapping through, mom, miss, hi, hello. What are you doing here?
You stupid, miss. You stupid.
Like, miss, you dummy. And look, hey. Don't let you convince a man that he doing the makeup shoot and then you just throw some paint on him. He runs. That man, I would never want to see you again. He'd wait for you to turn around and he'd say, miss, who you think?
Keep in mind,
that's really what being creative was all about. Like, I have collabed with a few local photographers because they are also into editorial makeup and beauty makeup. It's really like, it's not just me splattering on their face. It's in a sense, like, let's call it like organized chaos, where it doesn't look traditional, but it is still beautiful, you know? the way the colors are splattered or the way the colors are fixed or aligned, and how if it's, because it's not symmetrical, it makes it pretty. Because it's not perfect, it makes it pretty. I'm getting deep, but at the end of the day, that's what creativity is about. It's being diverse. It's being different. It's doing something because you like it. And it's not big in the Bahamas, but on an international standpoint, beauty and editorial is very, very big in the makeup and the beauty world, in the fashion world. It's very big. It's just very, it's very small over here. And I think that's because we have, I don't want to say closed-minded, we just have a tunnel vision to what makeup or beauty should look like. I feel as though we just expand our horizons a little, or get a little more exposure to what it's like in on an international level, we would appreciate difference a bit more. And that's in anything, that's in clothing. You know, we men over here dress in our Air Force, a white tee and a pants, and they that's drip. But in the States,
90% of that's, him and guys, so what that's,
no, no,
I'm just say the Nautica and the Jordans. That's not okay.
it's drip, but I'm just saying, like, if you go to someplace else in like the States or the UK or Canada, dressing is so different. Doesn't mean that they can't dress or that behemoths can't dress. No, it's just a lack of exposure on both parts. If you get exposed to more things, I feel as though you would appreciate difference a bit more, opposed to criticize it. Because you just was laughing at my splatter paint. But it's because you can't appreciate it because you weren't exposed to it. So I feel as though difference should be more accepted over here. And it would really grow our orange economy. It would grow the climate, the creative climate over here.
I feel kind of bad because I missed the part where you said, what, like you guys said, you called out 90% of the Amy man thinking that it's drip. And I'm just here like, I feel as though I would make it in the 10%, but that's only because I dress like...
That's because you dress like a fat boy. Anyways, my question was...
Wow, man. And little Spice, yeah, it is 2022. How are you going to be trying to fat shame me on the radio?
I think people enjoy our banter, Dudley. I know they do,
but somebody's going to be there like, she just called him fat for real? You take that?
This is my goodness. Frat boy.
I sure hear fat.
You know, I mean, but the thing is, but I could take it because boy. At the end of the day, because I can take it because at the end of the day, I know, you know, it's like you call me fat and I accept it.
I did not call you fat.
You definitely called me fat.
I don't know if you said frat. Oh, you said frat.
His frat shirt and his frat boots.
Oh, you said frat.
That's what I meant. Frat. F-R-A-T. I'm a fat shaming on.
Oh my gosh. I thought you called me fat. Wow.
Anyways.
That is great. It's a good thing I did it. Peter is on my side. She knows you. Me and her heard fat because we knew where your heart lies. We know the truth. We know where your heart is. There you go.
Anyways, my question was, okay, what would be like your favorite interpretive makeup designs you've done? Also, I wanted to shout out, I think there's a guy, I can't remember what his name is. It's like, I think it's Monty or something, who does like the painting all over women's bodies. I think it's so beautiful. I think we should all look it up. I think it's Monty or something. He's a Bahamian artist. It's very beautiful. And then Kristen Ferguson. You gotta big her up. K Jasmine on Instagram. So
hey, that's my girl, K. You do be doing good stuff though.
So you can tell us about like your favorite interpretive makeup designs you've ever done.
My interpretive. I'm not understanding the question.
Because you were talking about like unique makeup looks. So like, what was your favorite?
Like that. Yeah. Okay, so I do like. Aside from color and stuff, I love no makeup looks. In the beauty or editorial world, skin is everything. You know, creating breathable, buttery, luscious skin. I love me some good skin work. That's number one. That's important to me. And when it comes to like creative makeup, like I said, I love like things that are abstract. So it doesn't necessarily have to be perfect. It doesn't necessarily have to be symmetrical. Like if you, one of my favorite, like I love her so much, editorial makeup artist, her name is Danessa Merrick. She's also a Black woman and she really does it. She does all of the artsy forms on the eyes and stuff like that. So it's not really just one type of makeup. I enjoy doing anything beauty, anything abstract, anything editorial. I think it's beautiful. I think it's different. You know, that's just my take on it. It just doesn't have to be perfect in order to be seen as beautiful. So that's all me.
Do you plan on taking your, or would you ever take your content creation full time?
I am considering it heavily right now because the whole work life and content creation life, and I have two side businesses. It's becoming very, very overwhelming. And I feel as though, like I'm be honest and transparent. There is good money in content creation, whether it's locally, because it's not something that's very popular here. And I feel like anything with a demand that exceeds supply, people should get into it. And a lot of people need content, but there is good money in content creation. And, you know, it could sustain me. I could live off of content creation money. So I'm contemplating it, but I don't feel as though it would be right now, but it is something that I intend to go and transition into very soon.
And like, wouldn't you be a bit scared? Because like, is the money like a consistent thing, or is it like sometimes it's an on season, sometimes it's an off season, you know?
Well, there definitely is some fear. There definitely is some red flags to it. But, you know, I wanna have those stories where people be like, oh, I did the thing. I left my job. I did this. But I'm being the calculated person that I am. I definitely will have to plan that out before I execute. But there are, when it comes to content, especially on an international level, I won't say it is as consistent or as secure as a 9 to 5 or whatever job that you have, because like you said, there are some off seasons, there are some seasons when you gotta wait for a collab, or you gotta wait for a brand deal, or you gotta be working for a few months without, you know, seeing a decent pay. But ultimately, as you keep doing something, I feel as though you'll get to that point where it is consistent. You have some big beauty influencers who simply live off of content creation. They started just where I started from, or from anyone who's listening where you start from, where no one know them and they were just doing the thing, and now they're successful. It's paid off because they were consistent, they knew their end goal, and they did what they had to do. Sometimes that comes with sacrifice. That may come with sacrifice of your 9 to 5, where you need that 8 hours a day to create content and be creative, opposed to just doing it for someone else. You need that, and that is just how I look at it. Eventually, I might take that leap of faith, but for right now, I think I'll just have to learn to balance and have better time management.
Hey, you need to take your consultancy services to like the next level. You know, I saw on a website today in the Bahamas, it says consultants can make a maximum of like 6 figures. You need to go.
Consultancy, yes. Yes.
You need to stop consulting for free.
Oh my God, that is another venture. Oh, like I believe, like people, whoever's listening, you get me while you can. I don't think that's something I'm going to get into right away. You know, a lot of people have courses and stuff going on, where you, the content creator starter kit or something like that. Now that is good, but like I said, get me while you can and while the knowledge is free, because one day I do intend on doing that. Because like you, like doing content creation and influencing in the Bahamas is not easy. It does come with some strategy, and it would be good if someone can help you cut that time in half by just following their knowledge or their path. So I do agree with you, there is good money in consultancy, but like I said, get me while you can, while it's free, while I still small, because I intend to arc up, you know, I intend to arc up very soon.
Y'all heard it here first. Sari Skin is very about to take her consultancy to Gumroad, I think is the name of the site. To Gumroad, she's gonna sell you the package for like $15. Or if you wanna hit her up, she's going to have the private Zoom.
Look at this man setting up my next business. Love it. Love it.
Well, thank you so much for coming on our show and having such an insightful conversation with us. It was great having you as a guest. We had a great conversation.
Thanks for indulging me in my, you know, foolishness. Oh, my gosh.
Anytime. You're welcome.
Oh, my God. Send the skincare routine. Like, seriously, though.
Thank you all for having me. It was a pleasure.
You can follow us on our social media, which is Candid242 on Facebook and Instagram. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Candid People Real Bahamas.